Today is the first full day, Saturday. And the only full day. So it's very precious. Yesterday I spoke about isolation as the key. There are three levels of isolation. Isolating yourself from the past, the future, your immediate environment, which includes your neighbors, and whatever is happening in the environment. Second level of isolation is isolating yourself from physical conditions, right? Discomfort, comfort, the third level of isolation is to isolate yourself from previous thought and the subsequent thought. This means from one moment to the next, you're on the method in the here and now, in the present. So you treat this whole retreat as one long session. No matter what you do, you're on the method. You have to have a method. For those of you who are using the breath as meditation, whether counting or simply being aware, when you're sitting, that's your method. When you're not sitting, your method is sensations and movement of the body. For those of you who are using silent illumination, you may begin with following the breath, counting the breath, and then slowly easing to the practice, the first stage, which is just sitting. Just sitting means when you sit, you're aware of what is actually happening. Not how you imagine it to be. So you're staying with the concrete reality of this act of sitting. So how do you know you're sitting? You have a body. The body has a posture. The body has sensation. The body has sense of weight. These are the three things that you are aware of. Except, in order to have the discriminating mind diminish, you cannot jump from one body part to another constantly. Sometimes sensation, sometimes posture, sometimes sense of weight. Then the mind is constantly moving, perceiving, discriminating. So the key to the practice of just sitting is to be aware of the totality of the body sitting, the whole presence of the body. This means in a very general sense, you know the body is sitting here, relaxed, upright, natural, and grounded. So this means simply staying with this presence, the simplicity of this act of sitting, and nothing more. Right? You can't do this when the mind is very complicated. That's why you begin with following the breath or some other preliminary work. So once the mind is more naturally aware, focused, then it's possible to just sit. Bodily posture, once it's upright, relax, forget about it. Bodily sensations, just know it's relaxed. Now what's left is this simple experience from one moment to the next of the presence, the sense of bodily weight, that you know the body is sitting there. And to simply know the body sitting there, that's sufficient. Just simply know it. If you drift off from this knowing, then there's no more method. That's like getting caught up in the scenery. It may be very blissful, comfortable. So you're staying with that comfortable thing. That's a scenery, that's not the method. The method is know that the body is sitting. That's what you do when you're sitting. Post-meditation time, when you're drinking water, going to the bathroom, instead of just sitting, you're just walking, just drinking, just going to the bathroom. Right? Staying with the totality of the body, the whole presence of the body. Right? Do not jump from one place to the next. After some time, your mindfulness will be very content staying with what's happening. And then when you return to sitting, you just sit. Those of you using Gong An, in other words, Hua Tou, you should be using that at all times, all places. Question yourself. What is Wu? Now you may have questions about who am I? What is the meaning of life? Meaning of existence? What is this? What is that? Bring all of your miscellaneous doubts and collapse them into this single question of Wu. Wu represents all of them. So the power or the momentum you have in this urge of wanting to know who you are, don't ask who I am. Right? That will have residual effects. Right? If you keep on asking the I, we're trying to let go of that. So you don't keep on holding on it. You direct the power, the urge of wanting to know, direct it into Wu, which is nothingness, or lacking, or simply no. All beings have Buddha nature. All beings are capable of full awakening. Why did Chan Master Zhao Zhou says, dog have no Buddha nature? Why? This dog that's sitting, dog that's on retreat. Why? What is my Buddha nature? What is Wu? Continue to ask. Whatever answer arise, whatever realization, you say to yourself, that's not it. You continue. Whatever, you continue. What is it? I want to know. So familiarize yourself with this sense of not knowing, yet you want to know. Two aspects. Don't stay with just not knowing. No, I don't know. Ask yourself, and you want to know. That's the second aspect. You want to know. It's like leaving your keys somewhere, and you can't find your car keys, and you have to go somewhere. So you're stuck, maybe. Got a ride from someone else. But throughout the whole day, in the back of your mind, is this angst. What is it? Where did I put it? You're eating, you want to know. You're walking, you want to know. Sitting, you definitely want to know. It's always in the presence, the back of your mind. It's kind of like that. So it's not like a great torrent wave. I want to know. Not like that. You'll exhaust yourself. is the subtle, fine stream, like a mountain stream. It can meander through obstacles, but it's always flowing, always present. That's the Huatou. So walking, sitting, standing, lying, eating, always Huatou. If you want, you can also begin with the breath, following the breath, being aware of the breath, in and out, until you get settled. Then you ask the Huatou, the Gongan. So that's how to isolate ourselves. If you use the method sincerely, earnestly, from moment to moment, naturally, you'll pass through all three levels of isolation. You don't have to check what level you're at. Just stay with the method, and you'll be fine. Naturally, you'll let go of the past or future, the environment, the body, what the body is doing. You just stay with the method, 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 method. Right. No reservations. Don't look back. Sometimes when people practice very well, they suddenly realize that they're doing pretty well. And then they're off the method, and they give rise to fear. So am I gonna be enlightened? What is that gonna be like? I don't wanna be enlightened. Maybe if I become no self, I won't recognize my girlfriend, my parents, my friends. It's not gonna happen. Keep on going, no reservation. Keep on going, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. Don't check yourself. Stay with the method. That's a review. This morning, I'd like to tell you something very important, and that is faith. Faith in three things. Number one, in yourself. Number two, in the three jewels, the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, which is represented by your teacher. Your teacher is the transmitter of the three jewels, transmitter of the teaching, the Dharma, which is most important. Who spoke the Dharma? The Buddha. Who transmits it? The Sangha. Therefore, in the teacher embodies the three jewels. Third, in the method. Whatever method that you're using, this is the method used thousands of years. And numerous people have benefited from it. When we use the method, we are connected to practitioners of the past, present, and future. This is faith. But faith in Buddhism is very different. It's something between belief and conviction and trust. Faith, it is said in Buddhism, faith allow you to enter. Wisdom delivers. Delivers from this shore of suffering to that shore of liberation. Faith and wisdom are intimately related. In fact, faith transforms to wisdom. So when a person has experience in the Dharma, you no longer need to trust. You no longer need to have faith. You embody the Dharma. Right? So it's not like you're always set up in a kind of dualistic faith in that, faith in this. It's more of a trust. Trust that yourself. You can do it. You trust that the three jewels embodied in your teacher has the experience. And all the lineage masters throughout generations have benefited, freed themselves. And you trust that this method is effective because you have gotten benefit already. That's why all of you are here. You have gained a little glimpse. The benefit of concentration, the benefit of mindfulness, the benefit of practice. So it's kind of a trust. But trust, conviction, when the more you gain experience in it, the more it's not about trust or conviction. It's about, you know it personally. It's like someone drinking water. If you have never drank water, but you see all these people quenching their thirst, drinking the water. So am I capable? Of course. So when we start drinking one drop, two drops, say, okay, that's water. It's very good. It's already starting to quench my thirst. The more you drink, the less it's about trusting or believing something. It's yours already. It's a part of you. You see? Very important. When we are vexed, when we are wallowing in our own mechanism, we cannot see the light of day. But you have to believe, you have to trust. It is possible for you to practice, for you to be free. After all, awakening, realizing your Buddha nature, it's not something you get from outside. If it's something from outside, then it could be lost. Then it becomes very hard. It's like learning a skill. But realizing your Buddha nature is not hard at all. Not hard at all, because you already have it. The hard part is the obstacles that we have built up ourselves, for ourselves. All the mechanisms, the patterns of thinking, we did it. But we know that beneath these layers of vexations, we're originally free. And we do have an inkling of that. Why? Because sometimes we can be sad, sometimes we can feel very good about ourselves. That means these states are impermanent. So you could be free. You could live happier. Also, the scripture says, all beings have Buddha nature. Now, those of you using the Huatou, for you are different. You say, how come I don't have Buddha nature? But even that is built on the conviction that I do have Buddha nature. Otherwise, you cannot generate doubt. This wonderment, this sense of wanting to know. It's, you have, but why is this guy say I don't? Where is it? Right? So even the doubt, the great doubt, is built on conviction. Right? Wanting to know. The scripture says so. People have testified it throughout generations. And they're just like us. Normal people. The teacher, second. The teacher's life is devoted to transmitting the Dharma. And the teacher is willing to sacrifice everything. For this reason, the Dharma will flourish. Everything is secondary. And this teacher, for this retreat, Guo Gu, has received transmission from his teacher. And his teacher has received transmission from his teacher, recognizing the experience of Chan. Still, it's very hard to trust another person, perhaps. It doesn't matter. All you have to do is practice, and the words he say, you see if it's true, yourself. Just like faithing ourselves, little by little, test out what he says. Right? When he says you're tense, are you tense? You're tense. When he says now, do something else, you try it and it works. So little by little, you build trust in the teacher. Until you have complete trust in the teacher. And the teacher is here to protect, nourish the student. From the teacher's perspective, every student is equal. He will not favor one over the other, especially during retreat. He's here, his life, his body, mind is completely devoted to everyone's process. Having conviction in a teacher is a second stage and is difficult but extremely important. Because the teacher is experienced, if you listen to the teacher and you follow to the T of his instructions, then he will bring you, guide you to where you need to be, where he wants you to be. This conviction is to the extent of when the teacher says, like all of you see this microphone stand, right? What color is it? Aaron, what color? It's black. Then when the teacher says, that's white. You can say, it's white. You may not understand it. Say, okay, it's white. When the teacher says, moment to moment to moment to moment, stay with the method. Not like a great torrent of wave, but relaxingly stay with the method. You follow it to the T. When the teacher says, now it's time to exert effort, strike up the sitting and plunge yourself to the method, that's the attitude that you approach. So the teacher will let you know when to advance, when to retreat, when to use effort, when to relax. For each of you is different. But when he gives instructions on a general level, that includes you too. Very important. If you can do that, it's guaranteed that you will gain great benefit from the practice. Next is in your method, faith. The method of contemplating breath. Over 2,500 years old, the way that the Buddha taught it. Numerous people, countless, have used it and benefit from it. You must have great conviction, the efficacy of this method, if used properly, if used correctly. And the teacher have taught what is the correct way of using this method, correct attitude, correct thought, correct approach. Relax, natural, clear. The method of silent illumination. Clearly articulated about 1,000 years ago in China. But this method of simultaneous practice of shamatha and vipassana, samadhi, concentration and wisdom, the simultaneity, also dates back to the Buddha. So, 2,500 years. The method of huatou, clearly articulated about 1,000 years in China. But even at the Buddha's time, we see evidence of this method, evidence of this approach that the Buddha took on his disciples. Giving the student, his disciple, a phrase to contemplate. Sometimes these phrases are trivial, meaningless. One time he gave his student, was particularly slow, couldn't remember the phrase, everything's impermanent. That phrase he couldn't remember. His brother was an arhat, got pissed off, gave up on him. Two brothers, both became monks. He had a mental obstacle. It's like everything's impermanent. He would remember everything, and he forgot the second part. The brother was so embarrassed of him, took him out to the farm field, teach him. It's like everything's impermanent. Everything's impermanent. Everything is, to the extent that the farmer is like, everything's impermanent. He was like, okay, just leave the Sangha. I don't want to see you ever again. And he was crying to himself. His own brother gave up on him. The Buddha came by. He said, you come with me. Here's a broom. Just one word, clean. You can keep on saying clean, clean, clean. The vihara, which is the community, they live in the forest. There's nothing to clean. Everything is dirt. How do you clean? You sweep dirt from one place to the other, He didn't think of it. He just followed the Buddha. Stop crying, it's clean. So there he was, sweeping dirt from one place to another. And the whole place is kind of, the air is full of dirt, dust. But he just kept on cleaning, clean, 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 clean. Until he had a doubt. Says, clean, what? I'm just moving dirt from here to there. But I must clean. Where is the dirt going? Where is the dirt? Where is the dirt? Why is the dirt here? I'm moving from here to there. And suddenly, one day, he was in this great doubt. One day, says, my mind is full of dirt. And no matter what I do, I clean from one place to another. Clean this dirt, it come out another place. And he realized that, just like how I said, moving the furniture around in this space, you move it from one place to another, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the spaciousness of this room. He realized that his mind ground is already clean. He skipped the first three stages of sainthood directly, become an arhat, full liberation. So if that person can do it, all of you can do it. But all of you are too smart. Practice, practice. Maybe I should save some energy for later. No. Reservation, self-preservation, protecting yourself. Right. Eating, maybe eat a little more so I have energy. Even though my stomach's full, I want to eat more. Too smart. Or looking at this, looking at that, looking at other practitioners, what they're doing. That arhat, his name was Little Road. Little Narrow Road. His brother, in translation, his name was The Great Path. He's the Little Road. But no matter Little Road or The Great Path, they both arrived to the other side, to the other shore. So even the method, all the methods are good. All the methods are good. And we turn into the Hua Tou method. We see evidence like this. Hua Tou is the method of sudden enlightenment. Use poison against poison. The discriminating mind. Asking a meaningless question until a person just completely exhausts, cannot penetrate, yet wanting to know. Right. There are other cases during the Buddha's time too. In the early scriptures and the Vinaya collection, the canon of regulations and rules. So, we have faith in the method. And 1,000 years ago, up to the present, numerous Chan practitioners, Zen practitioners, Song practitioners, Korean Zen, have practiced this and derived great power from it. These are the three things. Can you remember? First is faith in what?
Yourself.
Second? Faith in the teacher who represent the three jewels. Third?
The method.
This is a rare opportunity. So, when we practice together. So with this, we'll begin
the retreat.
Each sitting, when you sit down, you join your palms with each sitting. And you vow, you make a vow to stay in the present. Enjoy the method. Now, we're bound to stray off from the method. We're bound to kind of doze off or wandering thoughts. Having a vow is better than no vow. Having a standard is better than no standard. Having precept is better than not having any precept. Right? That gives us a purpose, a goal. So make that vow. When we stray off, no need to beat ourselves. We bring it back to the method. Bring it back to the method. During traditional retreat, before people sit down, they actually bow to the cushion. If you want to do that, you can do so. Or you can just simply bow. This physical gesture actually has a very positive effect. Right? Bowing to your cushion, you're treating it very special. This is a very dignified space. So you sit, you feel dignified, and you vow to stay in the method. So, this ritual actually helps to shape, sanctify our experience. Now, if you're just going through the routine, then it's meaningless. Right? But the original spirit is this, right? Bowing to the cushion, and then sit down. Any questions? Okay. All of you have brought a jacket or a towel in case it gets cold here? Have some? All right. We may have some over there as well. Okay. Now please turn around. Assume a good posture, comfortable one. And we begin the first sitting.
Sure, it's saved. We don't want to shut it off. Right?